Okay, Bir Hashem is Barach. I would like to share a Dvar Torah for the Olam. Parshas Va'era. Va'era is, of course, a very, very special parsha. It begins the whole element, the whole series of Makis, of the different plagues that affect Klal Yisrael, that affect Klal Yisrael, Mitzrayim, that will, Bir Hashem, lead to the Etzem Hatzalah and Geula, and redemption of the Jewish people. So this week's parsha begins the Makis that Kosh Baruch Hu brings down upon Mitzrayim. And Hashem commands Moshe to confront Paro with what? A miracle. What's that miracle? What's that first initial miracle?
Sign.
The matah that becomes a nachash, the staff that becomes a snake. Why? To show that Moshe is a shaliach of Hashem. That Paro summons the chatumim. Kedu, this is the way it goes often for the first few makis, a few different first miracles. Paro first summons the chatumim, the quote-unquote wise men and the sorcerers of Mitzrayim, and they manage to copy Moshe. Later, Moshe and Aaron confront Paroi and warn him of the first plague. And what's that first plague? As we know, the changing of the Nile to what? To blood. And, says the Pasuk, the death of the fish within it as well. So Aaron hits the Nile and it turns to blood. Again, Paro asks the Chartoum to copy it, and what happens? No. He's not bothered. As it says in the Pasuk, Vayikra gam paro l'chachomim l'machshefim v'yasu gam heim chatumim Mitzrayim v'latem kein. And then it says later, that was by the matah, and then it says later by the dam, v'yasu chen Moshe v'aron kashan tziva Hashem v'yorem matah v'yachas amayim asher b'yor leine paro leine avodo v'yavchul kol amayim asher b'yor. And then the Pasuk says, v'hadog asher b'yor, the dogim, the fish, died in the yor. The yivash hayor, right? It smelled nasty. It's terrible, of course, because dead animals in the dead carcasses of fish. It smelled terrible. They couldn't be able to drink. There's blood throughout the entire land of Mitzrayim. And then again came along the chartumim. And again, Paro's lave was strengthened, was hardened. And so Paro, at that point, didn't care. And yet it's very, very interesting, because if you take a look at the next pasuk, in describing Paro's reaction to the Makkah of Dam, it says it, Paro's heart was hardened. And the next pasuk says, Vayifein Paro, Paro turned. Vayovel Beisla, he went and headed home, and went home to his palace. Veloy shos liba gam lazois. And he did not pay heed even to this. What is the pshat and the pasuk taking, like speaking it out? We already know, in essence, that Paro was not moved or bothered. Once the Khartoum were able to reproduce, it's a rhetorical question. The fact that they already were able to reproduce the Makkah, we already know inherently that Paro wasn't moved or bothered by the miracle, by the actual nace itself. So why does the Torah speak it out like it seems to be? To lengthen the response, and they describe the response of Paro, that exactly of Paro, that he wasn't bothered. Now Rashi tells us, what is v'loy shos liba gam lazois? He didn't care even for this. Rashi says very clearly, loy l'neis shel mata, v'loy l'neis shel dam. He wasn't bothered even by the neis of the mata. Again, of the chatumim having reproduced the matah, and he wasn't also bothered by the dam. So Rashi, in a sense, puts both of the two makas and the reaction of Paro together. But I already know that Paro wasn't bothered. It already said before by the matah that Hashem that the chatumim were able to reproduce the miracle, or it seemed to be a miracle. And Paro wasn't bothered, he wasn't moved. And obviously it makes sense if the Khartoum were able to reproduce. And again, keep in mind, at this point, at this stage of the Makis, Paro still had what we call Bechira. There's a whole discussion exactly when did Paro lose his free will. The Gemara says, Kiyadua, the Medrash says that Hashem took away his Bechira. But at this point, at least for the first, I believe, the first four Makis, Paro still retained his Bechira. So it makes sense that the Khartoum able to reproduce it would allow him, kind of like the Pisklin Pe, to kind of take a step back and say, you know what, no. So why does the Torah need to repeat it again? That he wasn't moved by the matem. He wasn't moved by the dam. But then it says the further process. V'yifen paro v'yovel beisoy. He turned, paro turned. V'yovel beisoy went home. V'loy shasli bogam lazois. It seems to be a very extra pasuk that we don't seemingly need to have. That's the question I wanted to address. Why does the Torah seem to speak more than needed and to describe more than needed the reaction of Paro as to why he even came to the relationship, to the reaction, that he didn't care what Paro and Aaron did. So I want to tell you, it's like as a general perspective in life. The truth is, the answer is with all of us. In a sense, we all have this essence of power within it. I'll explain what I mean. How many times does a person have a moment of like absolute clarity? A nais you just witnessed. A story you just heard that moves you. That really, really touches a part of you. That wow, you just... And what happens? How long does the inspiration last for? For the few small people that Baruch Hashem are able to do it, they do something about it. It brings them forward. It pushes them to a new direction. But there are a lot of times where there's a certain habit that's driving us crazy. We need to be able to, you know, start eating healthily. We start working out. But what happens? You say you're going to do something. You have that inspiration for a moment, and then it just dissipates.
Never happens.
And where does it come from? Where does that stem from? It stems from one nekuda. It stems from a person not doing something right away and concretizing it. And instead, what does a person do? They return back to their day-to-day affairs. They return back to the daily grind. Oftentimes, it's very unfortunate when it comes to people that are involved with smartphones and just involved with other affairs of life. They can hear something terrible feeling of news or something. And what do they do? They go back to the day-to-day. They go back to, unfortunately, what's called the comfort zone. Real growth comes from not being comfortable. It actually comes from being uncomfortable. It comes from being able to say, oh, wow, this is something that's inspiring. I feel like I really should make a change about this right now. I feel terrible. I feel positive. Whatever it would be, whatever the emotion that's being elicited. But if a person's not taking that emotion, is not taking that inspiration, and doing something quick about it right away, taking that first step, it's not a surprise that a person eventually will lose that inspiration. Well, how do we see this? Because that's exactly what Pyro did. It's exactly what Pyro did. What does Pyro see? Pyro sees Makas Dam. Shh. How could you? The whole entire R is Mamish and Gansen. Blood. All over Mitzrayim. Blood. Everyone's drinking blood constantly. What happens? The Yifein Pyro. Pyro turned back. The Yovel Besoy. Went back home. His comfort zone. He turns away. He goes back to his comfort zone. And memela veloy shas liba gam lazois. It's no surprise.
It makes total sense.
But it's more than just didn't move him. It didn't move. It's not because it didn't move him, therefore he went home. He went home and therefore it didn't move him. And that's the challenge for all of us.
He didn't do a different action.
It didn't affect him. I'll tell you why. The Sforna says something mamish amazing. I have the Sforna in front of me. The Sforna tells us of gevaldig yisoid. What does he mean? Veloy shas liba gam lazois. Remember, you got to hear this mamish amazing. Lahavil, he didn't pay attention or heed in even to this. What's to this is the Sforna? Lahavin hahevdel asher haya gam bazois bein apoyel eloki lebal makshefim. That he didn't take 2 seconds to really think deeply about it. What really is the distinction, the difference between the Chartumim did and what Hashem did? What's the distinction? Shepu'ulas hakel yizbarach. Because the miracle that came from Moshe, through Moshe, came on from on high, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it made an actual distinct change in the nature of the Yor itself. How do I know? Asher hayu kalu built in it was completely messed up, was destroyed. It became not just what looked like blood, it literally was blood. You pick it up, it would be literally blood. You could look at it, it would have you could have all the markings and DNA of whatever blood would be, of whoever's blood that would be. And even worse, all the fish died. It stank. It smelled. Pyro had every reason in the world to see that it was clearly a Maisa from Hashem and not the Chartumim. Because what did the Chartumim do? The Chartumim, all the Pasuk says, the Chartumim did also, that they were able to change the Or into what looked like blood. Meaning to say that the actual action that the Chartumim did was an external change, not an internal change. It wasn't inherently within the nature of the Yam itself, of the Or itself. And Pyro should have paid attention to that. Pyro should have known that. But if someone is not sitting for 2 seconds to at least contemplate what's happened, to at least be struck by it and let it move them to think a little bit deeper, then of course you're not going to really think about it. It's not going to really affect you. It's not going to change you. If you're constantly in a mode of the day-to-day grind, moving on to the next thing, and you're not having the ability to have pure thought, just push a thought. You know, it's a very, very, very special thing. The best time and most amazing time that a person can have, and for self-deep, for real contemplation of who you are, you know where it could be? Not necessarily in the base medrash. The base medrash, so we're here and there, we're all over the place. Not necessarily in the base musar. Huh. You know what's the best time? In the bathroom. Why? Because you're only alone by yourself. And of course, that could apply to a car, it could apply to a bunch of different places. being alone with yourself, i.e. it doesn't mean just being alone with yourself. It means not given to distractions. It's very easy. A person says, you know, but I go here, I walk there, I like to listen to that shir. Maybe there's also an avoid of not listening to the shir. Maybe there's an avoid of simply having self-contemplation. What direction in life are you going? Are you happy? Are you sad? Where am I holding? Is that vort that I heard today, that Rabbi Kosrola said, mamash gavaldi gavort by pyro, and it really mamash made me think. Did it make you think? Did it move you farther? Did it make you say, you know what? This is a particular thing that I'm trying to work on. That's an avoid that I'm trying to work on. And that inspired me. What am I going to physically do about it? I think that's a very, very fascinating akuda. And you see by pyro, by the only, but no, but it's not just about action. It's about the right action in the which direction. Pyro also did an action. He did an action of turning away. He did an action of what? Of a yovel base of Elisha Sibagam Azois. Mamela, of course, it's natural if he does an action that is not turning towards the inspiration, but turning away from the inspiration.
Progress.
You know, it's a very common thing as well. A very common thing as well. When a person goes to a shir, and you hear a beautiful part, and maybe like you feel inspired, or you feel maybe that it really put you in a particular place, or maybe you feel that the speaker is in a sense maybe even talking to you, and it feels awkward. So what do you? What's the first thing people do if they're not aware of it? They crack a joke. That's honest. They take something away from it. Why? Because it takes away the sharpness of the actual, because you don't have to actually deal with what was heard. You don't actually have to think and confront the particular point that was said, and therefore you don't have to think about it. So no, sometimes it's taking it and taking it straight, right? It's like a whiskey. You got to take it straight, right? You get what I'm saying. Now, this is exactly the Nakuda. What Pyro does, he doesn't take a minute to stop and think. He doesn't move towards the inspiration or to cause him to think deeply about it, when even though, as we just said, based off this forno, he had every single reason in the world to stop for 5 minutes and say, hey, wait a minute, this thing a little bit off about the Chatum, and that's very different from what Moshe did. But if you're uninterested, you're uninterested. And he says, therefore, of course it makes sense. Vayifein Pyro, that he turned away, Vayava Beso. It's only natural for Pyro to not take anything to heart. For ourselves, and this is the point we really, really need to think about again. We allow those moments of his oiris to slip away. A person oftentimes, now by the way, it doesn't even just mean not thinking about it. Sometimes it's thinking about something way too much. You end up just in the same place you were before. You could be inspired. He says, but for this reason I can't do it. For that reason I can't do it. Sometimes you just have to shut the noise off and just go and just do. Not being so worried about, because why, you're going to end up on the couch if you're not actually pushing forward and doing it. Person really, really needs to be oimin this nekuda. How can I take his oiris and not to be a paro? Because to be a paro, I hate to break it to you, I don't think anybody here wants to be a paro. I hope
not. No.
I don't think anybody here wants to be a paro. A paro is somebody who is incapable of self-reflection. You're always moving on to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next, until eventually you're not anywhere. You know, the Alter of Nevardik said it, he said, people are willing to give away all of their tomorrows for one today. But you know what the truth is? Oftentimes, people will say, I'm going to give away all my todays for one tomorrow. He says, why? I'm the hope and the dream that, okay, things will get better tomorrow. I won't deal with it today. You know, the Mir Sashem will come tomorrow. But said the Alter of Nevardik, people will give away all of their tomorrows, where all of their todays, apologize for one tomorrow, but the tomorrow's never going to come. Why? Because if you didn't do the avoid of the today, if you have that as oiris, the chaps you at that very moment, then the chanami is not going to come. Then it's not going to actually move you and inspire you and help you grow and help you move. And it's a big yisoid.
You don't prepare for Shabbos today.
Right, 100%. Me, shetarach be'arav Shabbos, yechel b'Shabbos. This is the nekuda. The nekuda is you have to have action, but the right action. Again, anybody can have action, but it needs to be in the right direction. Like we said, it bears repeating again. Pyro did act. But he acted a way of turning away from his iris rather than turning towards his iris. Because he had every reason in the world. So, Mirz Hashem, this is a very chashuv nekuda. Mirz Hashem, we should steig in learning and in growth and in his iris, and we'll do what we can.